I got something for you. I'd like for one of you to take one per family and pass it back. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. And by the way, I'm preaching on complaint department this morning. And our complaint department is Julie Miller, by the way. If you have a complaint, just fill it out and turn it in to her, and she will answer it real shortly. Anyway, if you would, I'd like for you to turn to Psalms 142, 1 and 2. Well, you got this in Exodus 16 and 2. I'm going to read from both of them, but I'm going to start off in Psalms 142. Psalms 142, 1 and 2. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my troubles. And then over in Exodus, where I'm going to get the meat of my message from, Exodus 16 and 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Let us pray. Fathers, I come, Lord, this morning. I come, Lord, with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart for You this morning, Lord. I love You. I praise You this morning, for You are truly a good God. And Father, You're good enough to send Your Son to this earth, Lord, to give us salvation. And I praise You for that. I want to open up my heart and I want to open up my words this morning for You, Lord. And I pray the hearts of those here this morning will be opened up, Lord. And we'll give You the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. By now you probably have got your paper back, and I give those to my guys at work Thursday. And it's a joke, as you may well know by now. But anyway, I give that to them Thursday at work, and then of course they tend to the back. And I thought, you know what? The Lord gave that to me and said, you know what? Preach about complaining this morning. And I'm going to do that with the Lord's help. You know, I think about this as a story. You know, I like to open up with this story this morning. There was a guy who took his family to church. And as they were driving home after church, he complained about everything. He did. He complained about everything. He complained that the music was too loud. He complained that the sermon was too long. The announcements were too long and they were too unclear. The building was too hot. The people were unfriendly. The seats were uncomfortable. You know, this is on his way home. I mean, he said he's got a son and a daughter and his wife, and he's complaining all the way home. He went on and on about complaining, about virtually everything. He grumbled and complained about the parking. He complained about the way the church took up the offering. And finally, his son in the back seat, he said he just stopped there for a minute. He stopped complaining. He said to him, Dad, you've got to admit it was a pretty good show for a dollar, though, right? Get what I'm saying? Are we humans that bad? Do we really complain that much and that bad? You know what? Are we that negative? I got to ask, are humans that really all that negative? Do we complain more than we commend people? I mean, just think about a minute. You know what? It seems like that we all tend to be more negative than we do positive sometimes. I'll be the first to admit it. You know, I can be that way sometimes myself. We see the bad stuff instead of seeing the good stuff and seeing the good about people. We always tend to see the bad more than we tend to see the good about people. I'll give you a very simple survey that it was taken recently. I think Barna's took this. It asked parents to keep track of how many times they made negative comments compared to positive comments to their children down through the day. Do you realize that for every 10 negative comments that they made, they only made one positive comment to their children? Imagine that. Just imagine what, and you know the truth about that, you know, and just think about that. If God did that to you and me, we're His heavenly children, are we not? What if He actually thought about us in that aspect? Everything was negative towards us. Everything was on the complaining about us all the time. I'm glad I don't serve a God like that. Did you? Am I right? I praise God that my God that I serve, He loves us. And you know what? No matter what we've done, He loves us. Amen. And He's wanting us to come back to Him. He's wanting us to be with Him. Amen. He's wanting that. There are people out there that make grumbling and complaining an art form. Am I right? There are people out there that can do that. They will grumble, complain habitually. You know what? When we grumble about things like that, you know what? If we're caught in slow-moving traffic, we'll grumble. Am I right? We'll do that. I've done that. If our meal at a restaurant's not on time, we'll grumble and complain. If it rains, we complain. And guess what? If it don't rain, we'll complain. Am I right? They will grow. And if it, you know what? I want you to notice something about what I'm going to preach here with me. Some of the characteristics, and I'm going to get into it, of what grumbling and complaining, some of the characteristics of somebody that does this is about. You know what grumbling and complaining is? It is a gratitude problem, first off. I want to say that to you blunt right out now. If you are constantly grumbling and complaining about things, you know what? You have a gratitude problem. We grumble because we think that we should always experience, this is what it's about, we always should experience pleasure rather than pain. That's why we grumble and we complain. We complain because we feel that we should always be blessed. That's why we should, with prosperity, rather than any adversity should ever come into our lives. And if it comes into our lives, Lord forbid, then that's when the grumbling and the complaining can really start. That's when it really starts. Whenever we are tempted to murmur and complain, we need to review what has happened to our past, do we not? We just need to say, hold on a minute, and look back at what God has done for us, and just take a look at the big picture, what God has really done. Listen, many of us are like the person who complains, you know what? My car broke down, and it cost me $400 to get it fixed. And you know what? And I didn't have $400 to get it fixed. And we use this kind of logic about everything. You know what? Why me, Lord? After all, am I not better than most of the people I go to church with? That's the kind of logic we use sometimes. Do I do more? Do I do this more? You know what? And why is my car breaking down right now, Lord? Why are you treating me like this, Lord? Why? Seems like to me like the devil's lost everybody else's address except mine. Right? You know, so have you ever felt that way in your life? Maybe, you know, the devil's on me all the time. Why, Lord? You know what? And you're asking God, why are you punishing me? The TV went on the blink. The stove, the dishwasher, the arm, all this stuff, the lawnmower. You know, all this stuff is on the blink. All of it's on the blink. Lord, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why? Besides that, I'm at the age now where I should be able to retire. I'm at that age right now, and look, I don't, you know, why is my finances not like the person that I sat across from? Why is it like that? Lord, why me? You know? Why have you denied me the opportunity of fame and fortune? Why have you done that, Lord? And there's other people that get it. Why have you denied that to me? You know what? I want to ask you something. We go on and on with why me, Lord, if you want to. I can go on and on in this church and say, why me, Lord, on a number of things if you want me to. When I find myself starting to think that way, you know what? I look at a different angle. And I hope you look at it this way also. Lord, what have I done that is so grand that you have blessed me with a car? And I've got a car and a truck. Amen? I've got 3 TVs at that house that we only watch one at a time, most generally. But you got 3 of them. I've got a dryer and a washer and a dryer that work. I've got a lawnmower that works sometimes, but it works. I've had to have Greg Weld on it, by the way, a few times. But it works. Why me, Lord? Lord, why did you permit me to be born in America? Why did you not let me be born in like a country like Bangladesh or someplace that's poor? Why me, Lord? Did you ever think of it that way whenever you're asking, why me, Lord? Lord, you've given me the opportunity for a job that you've given me. That you know what? There's plenty of people out here, and I praise God for my job, that would love to be working right now, that cannot find work or may not find the job that I have. Why me, Lord? Why did you do that for me? And also, Lord, why have you given me the reasonable help that you've given me? Why, Lord, when there's other people that at my age who have already had heart attacks or maybe have already had cancer, and I can go on and on with the list of stuff, and I can say, well, why me, Lord? Why have you blessed me that way? But see, we don't look at it from that angle sometimes. We only look at it from the negative point of view sometimes. Why did this happen to me, Lord? We don't look at it for, Lord, why do I have the job that I have? Why did you give me the family that I've got? And Lord, why did you give me such a good church, Lord? Why me? When there's so many churches out here that are shutting down, and you can't hardly get people, preachers to preach at them, and people to go to church anymore. And you can say, looking around you, we say, Lord, why have you given me such a good church? We think of all the ways that God has blessed us. And He has continued to bless us. You know what? That I don't deserve it. And maybe you feel the same way. God has blessed me in such ways sometimes that I feel that I do not deserve all that He has given me. And I wonder how I could possibly complain whenever something relatively simple happens in my life, like a flat tire or something else happening that maybe doesn't seem like right at this point in time. If we could only learn to count the blessings that we have right before us, there would be absolutely no time to complain. Am I right? Absolutely no time to complain if we just count the blessings that's around us right now. Do you know something else that grumbling and complaining can do? It can cause a perception problem in our lives also. Grumbling and complaining can cause us to distort the facts in our life sometimes. You know what it can cause us to do? It can cause us to make a mountain out of a molehill sometimes also. Over in Exodus, the 16th chapter there, and turn over there if you wouldn't care with me again. I'm going to be the majority of the time over there now, but Exodus 16, 2 and 3, and I'll read that again. And it says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for we have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill his whole assembly with hunger. Now I want to ask you something right there. Yeah, that doesn't perception sometimes, that grumbling and complaining cause a perception problem in our lives? It did right here. They conveniently forgot how that they were asking God to get them away from the beatings and get them out of the land of Egypt just a short time earlier. And how long that they longed to be freed from Pharaoh's grip. They wanted to be that way. But here they are grumbling and complaining after God had done a mighty work in these people's lives. You know what? Exodus 3:7 tells us, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. Talk about a short memory. Talk about a bunch of people that had a short memory. There's none of us in here that ever have that problem, do we? Huh? You know what? God can bless us one week. He can bless us and we could be on the mountain, and the next week something can happen, and you know what? It's, oh my is me, oh woe is me. God has turned His back on. No, He hasn't. He has not turned His back. The same God is still there that was with you during the good times. It's with you now. There's a song that used to be sung all the time. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen? He's with us all the time. I like this. I like the scripture. When I get the feeling, I like this. It's found in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to deliver. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing. Praise God. He is mighty. He will take and be with us no matter the situation. But yet, yes, we're going to have a flat tire at the most inconvenient time sometimes. Yes, we will. Yes, our families can let us down sometimes. But I want to tell you something. Guess what? You can let your family down also. But if you would step back and look at the big picture of what God has done, God's been pretty good to you and me. Will you say amen to that this morning? I believe God has been real good to you and me. You know what? No matter what we think's going on, I believe He's been real good to you and me. Yes, grumbling and complaining can cause a perception problem. grumbling and complaining also can be contagious. Oh, yes, it can. Have you ever noticed how one person who starts grumbling and complaining can affect a bunch of people? Have you ever noticed that? It can bring you down. You know, when I'm at work, sometimes they talk about being a Debbie Downer. I hope nobody's in here named Debbie. Sorry, Debbie. But do you understand what I'm saying? You know, we cannot be down all the time, because when we serve the God that we serve, it can be contagious. It can spread to other people. The whole congregation has said of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness because somebody started out complaining. What had begun as a few now had turned into the whole congregation. I got a story here for you how this can happen. There was a church, and this is a true story, it's a Presbyterian church in Centerfield, Georgia. It's where it's located. It originally split because a congregation had a fuss about what time to take up the offering, whether before or after the preaching. Now, I know this kind of stuff seems silly, but they had a fuss and they did split because of that. Whenever they split, they went off, and 4 years later, that little church that split over, they split again over whether or not they should have flowers in the sanctuary. They called herself, by the way, get this, the split-off church named itself Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church of Centerville. That's what they called herself. Guess what? They split seven more times. Seven more times. And guess what the name ended up being? The Third Westminster Trinity Covenant Presbyterian Reformed Church of Centerville. And that's what they said, because they started complaining. Because they started complaining about things. You know what? When I was looking this up, I can't make this up, folks. This is true. But I was looking at, they give different churches and the reasons why they split. One church split because of the way they spelled hallelujah. You know what? Hallelujah to the Lord this morning. Amen. Does it make any difference? Praise God. You know what? We need to understand what our complaining can lead to sometimes. You see the old saying, the apple doesn't fall too far from the trees? If we start complaining around our children, guess what kind of an attitude we give them? If we're constantly complaining around them, what kind of an attitude do we give them as they grow up? They're going to take that same kind of an attitude on. Constantly complaining and grumbling. For all your children will ever hear is when they're growing up is that is you constantly complaining and grumbling about something or someone. Also, because you know what? Proverbs 22:6 tells us, well, it still holds true for this, no matter whether you train them up good or whether you train them bad, it still holds true. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not what? Depart from it. If you train that child, whether it's for good or bad, I'm telling you right now, you're putting something, you're instilling something in them. Complainers are always looking also to blame others. Do you believe that? Putting the blame on others for our failures is something that's not new. It is not a bit new. When did it start? It started with Adam and Eve. We know that. We've heard that before. And you know what? Whenever Adam and Eve was in the garden, you know what they did? Adam said it was the woman that thou givest me. He tried to blame God. Then the woman said it was a serpent. And we go on and on. We've been studying this about sin here recently. Where does sin come from, folks? We know that. It comes from within us because of our pride. Satan lays it beautifully out there for us, but you know what? It's through our pride, through our selfishness on the inside of us, that this stuff takes fruition in our lives. It's still very prominent today. Why? We're right in the season of it, where you know what? We have Democrats blaming Republicans. We have Republicans blaming Democrats. We have Republicans blaming Republicans. We have Democrats blaming Democrats. We have the states blaming Washington, D.C., and we have Washington, D.C. blaming the states, and we have the nations blaming each other. It's nothing but a big blame game. And you know what? They want to know why this world is in the mess it's in. What we need to do is just go look in the mirror once in a while. And you know what? We need to find out why we've turned our back on God. And you know what? We need to come back to Him. And I believe if we would come back to Him, I believe that this mess would straighten up. I mean, that's just as blunt as I can put it. We look no further than the mirror. You know what? The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the street. Well, you know what? Listen. We sometimes want to play the blame game. We want to complain about why things are not what they are. But pray God. You know what? We complain about why the church isn't where it should be. Look at yourself. We complain about why this state is not where it should be. Look at within ourselves. And I'll tell you what, I believe the answer lies there. Do you not agree with me on that? Complainers are never satisfied also. But no matter how much they're given, they'll never be satisfied. Look at Numbers 11:5-6. It says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. But you know what? They kept looking back towards Egypt. The children of Israel kept looking back because God had blessed them immensely. But you know what? That wasn't good enough. Now our souls dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Besides this manna before our eyes. I want to tell you something right now. Do you know how many thousand pounds of manna God provided each day to the children of Israel? Take a listen to this. 9,000 pounds of manna was supplied every day to the children of Israel. 9,000 pounds. And you know what that equaled out to? That's over 1 million tons of manna a year God supplied to these people. They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to hoe it, Ed. They didn't have to do nothing with it. And you know what? They didn't even have to cook it. They just had to go out and collect it and bring it in. For over 40 years, God did this with the children of Israel. And guess what? They complained. Not alone the quail that He had for them. Not alone the water that He gave them. And I'll tell you what, God supplied mightily for these people. And guess what? They still grumbled and complained. Because, you know, all that we have is this manna to eat. I want to ask you something this morning. Ask you a question this morning. I hope that you're not like that this morning. God has supplied so much for each and every one of us. He has supplied so much. And I understand, you know what? The people, they complained to Aaron. They complained about a lot of different things. But brothers and sisters, you know what? God has blessed us so richly. He has blessed me and you so mightily. The generation of grumblers and complainers never got to see the promised land. They never did because of some other things that they've done. The Israelites are told that this supply will come from heaven. And you know what? Praise God, I want to tell you something here this morning. That you know what? God has blessed us, and that if we put our trust and our hope in Him, He will meet and supply our needs. That is what He has told us. I stand upon that promise this morning. I believe it. He didn't say your wants, but He still gives us our wants sometimes. But He said, I will supply your needs according to what? My riches and glory. And He has done that for my life, for my family's life, down through the time, through the good times and through the bad times. Do I look like I starved to death? And I have not. Do I look like that God has never given me something to wear? No, He has not. He has given that to me because God has met my needs. If He told me to come up here and preach in blue jeans, I would be up here to preach in blue jeans. Amen? That's not what it's about. It's what God has given us in supply. I truly believe the majority of days we live on this earth as Christians will be a blessing. Do you believe that with me this morning? The majority of days that we live on this earth as Christians will be a blessing. I believe that. No, that does not mean that there will not be times that we will have bad times in our lives. That does not mean that. But I guarantee you, if you look at the bad times considered the good times will outweigh the bad times in our lives. We just look at the bad sometimes. Listen to me. Psalms 142 tells us back over there again. That's why I read this scripture. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplications. I poured out my complaint before Him. I shewed before Him my troubles. There's your complaint department this morning. Do you understand? Right there. We can go to the Lord. We can go to the Lord with our troubles and with our trials and with our complaints. We can. And He listens. You know what? You can come to me and complain all you want. I may be able to do something about it. I may not. But you know what? We can go to Him with legitimate complaints, and God was there to listen to our complaints. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. God cares for you this morning. He really does. If they come and get a song, I'm done.